Hello and welcome to Multiform. Every week we get together to talk about the latest Xbox news, rumors, and the games we've been playing lately. New episodes post every Monday morning. You can email the show, questions@multiformpodcast.com. This is episode 252, or week two of Not E3. And I'm your host, Tim Shelton, and I'm joined by my friend and brother-in-law, Spencer Rain.
Yo, hello.
Gus is not with us this week. I believe it's because he's moving, right?
Yeah, he's mostly done. I think he might be doing Father's Day. Well, it's kind of late.
That's possible too.
Father's Day stuff. Yeah, he was moving most of his stuff from his apartment this weekend, so that's probably still. Well, I don't know. Something like
that. Is he moving to a different apartment, or is he in a house that they're renting now?
Yeah, he's moving from an apartment to another apartment, but the other apartment won't be available for another month, so he's just living with his parents for the next month. So he's moving twice.
Yeah, that's month. Always convenient.
Yeah.
Luckily, he's like a nomad because he moves apartments every one or two or three years, so he doesn't have as many belongings.
Unfortunately, his next apartment isn't going to be on the third floor like the one that I just helped him move out of yesterday.
Oh. What floor is his new one on?
It's like basically the first floor. There's like a little like 5 or 10 steps up to where it is.
Oh, cool.
So
yeah, I've been to that third floor.
We had to move a sleeper sofa, and it took four of us, four men to move that down three stories. It was not fun.
That is not fun. Okay, so I called it week two of Not E3 because we had some more big shows this week, although they happened right after we recorded last week's episode. It's just a timing thing. But plenty to talk about, but let's start with what we've been playing. And Spencer, I'm going to start with you. And it seems like you and I have been playing a lot of the same things lately. So what'd you get up to?
Yeah, nothing really interesting to talk about this week. We both, as you were kind of alluding to, we both played Jedi Survivor and Forza. I didn't quite get the Hummer EV yet. I'm pretty close, but I just kind of was losing interest in that. So I'll get it at some point before Thursday, before it resets to the next week. So, I still need to do the I know you completed Rally Adventure, but I've really not even touched that. I need to get to that at some point, probably this summer, before Forza Motorsport comes out, just so that I'm not having to, you know, juggle two car games at the same time. But yeah, so I played that. I played Jedi Survivor, like I said, just a little bit, not a ton. I'm sure it'll click more with me at some point, but I don't know. Nothing is really maintaining my interest right now as far as Xbox is concerned, as far as just things to play. I wasn't here last week, so I know you guys talked about Starfield and everything else from the Xbox showcase and the Starfield Direct. But man, that game, like,
looks amazing.
I finally finished the 45-minute deep dive. It took me like 4 settings to finish that for some reason. I think because I actually wanted to pay attention to it. Because a lot of times I'll pull up YouTube videos on my laptop while I'm playing Xbox or doing other stuff and kind of have them off to the side. But I actually wanted to pay attention to this one. And so that's probably why it took me longer. But yeah, it's like I just want to play Starfield, that everything else is kind of just like right now.
Speaking of, you and I both have received the Starfield Edition controller. So
yeah,
Starfield Limited Edition controller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I ordered mine Sunday when the event happened, and it arrived on Tuesday, which they predicted Wednesday. So it came in 2 days. And then you ordered yours when?
I ordered mine on Wednesday, I think. And then it came Friday, something like that.
Now, mine was damaged. They put it in like a thin plastic bag. Was yours in a thin plastic bag?
No, mine was in this like kind of like brown paper, like thick brown paper bag that you had like a rip-off thing to open it.
Okay, so mine was one of those like really thin plastic bags.
Yeah, like the classic Amazon bag.
Yes, actually felt a little thinner, but yeah, that kind of bag. And they had obviously thrown it around, so it was dented. The box was actually dented of the Xbox controller. But when I opened it, the controller seemed fine, so I didn't bother returning it or anything. But I haven't played with it yet. I have held it in my hands. You know, that's not true. I think I did use it briefly. But from holding it in my hands, something you can't appreciate without holding it is the whole controller has a rubberized texture to it. Like the plastic has a slight rubberization to it that makes it a little grippier. And then the back has the rubber grips, which are optional on the Design Lab and most of the custom controllers, like, or most of the limited edition controllers, I think, have, but the regular ones don't. Like the blue controller I have doesn't have the grips on the back. So that's nice. Honestly, it's one of the best looking custom controllers they've ever done. I've only ever bought one other one in the Xbox Series generation, which was the 20th anniversary controller. And that one is a little slippery because it was very plasticky for them to like do the design on it, I guess. I don't know, which I didn't appreciate, but I did love the design of.
Yeah, I haven't opened my Starfield controller yet. I'm going to wait till the game comes out. I guess I probably should to make sure that it's not broken. But yeah,
I kind of want to hunt down one of the Cyberpunk controllers now. Even though
they're not very, they're kind of dumb looking, and they're an Xbox One controller. They aren't even a Series X controller.
Yeah, which does stink because, well, it's not a big deal, but there's, well, I think they patched the old controllers to add the latency improvements.
Maybe, but you can just tell, like, it feels different.
Yeah, it does.
It looks a little different.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the original Xbox One controller because at least it was a Series or 1S era controller. But it's a good looking controller, but I know some people just don't care. They just, a controller is something to play to them. I do like a cool looking one though to play with. So I'm a little bit of a sucker, but I'm not like one of those people that buys every single one and then hangs them up on my wall. Most of mine get used. The only ones I don't use are my Scorpio controller and my day one Xbox One controller.
Yeah, those are packed away. Packed away, never to be used again, even though they're both like nasty.
Worthless.
Because I use them a ton. Thinking about that. I have those two packed away. I have the Lunar one packed away, and I think the only other Xbox One era, I have a custom Purdue one that my mom got me for Christmas several years ago that is packed away, which ended up really just being like the dedicated, until I got the media remote, it was kind of the dedicated Xbox One X Netflix controller essentially. Then I was like, this is a pain in the butt having to turn this thing on every single time. Like, I'm just going to order the media remote, which I finally
did. I hate needing to pause something and then you go to hit it and the controller's gone off and you have to turn it back on.
Yeah, so I also did that.
Back to games we've been playing. Did you want to give any other updates or should I talk about the same games?
No, not really. I mean, I played a little World of Warships by myself and with Gus, so... but nothing really interesting to say. I did get that PS4 that I was talking about while I was not on last week. Ended up just having to go to Best Buy and get a power cord and then a cord for the controller. But everything's good. I did the factory reset for it. There was like 5 or 6 accounts on it. And I was like, well, hopefully nobody cares about this because I certainly don't. Wiped it.
Was there a disc in the drive when you got it?
No, there was no disc in the drive. There was one game that was with it for some reason, and it was FIFA 21, but then inside the case, there was a FIFA 20 disc and then a Spider-Man PS5 disc. So I don't understand.
A 21 case with a 20 FIFA disc and a Spider-Man PS5.
Yeah. And it was a British Spider-Man PS5 disc because it had like the PEGI rating on it rather than.
Oh, so they must've bought it online and got the wrong one.
I don't know. Well, the person whose PS4 was a British person. Like, he was an exchange student.
Oh, okay. So they probably brought it over.
Yeah, I don't know if he brought it over or not. I think he bought it. He must have bought it here. I mean, it doesn't make sense because the whole thing was he didn't want to take stuff back with him to the UK. So it was like, why would you have brought your PS4 and then been like, I don't want to take it back? Unless maybe he had a PS5. Maybe he bought a PS5 while he was over here and was like, well,
happened. It's backwards compatible. So he's just like, I don't need this thing.
Yeah. So it was funny because he had a car too that he left that was at, we were staying at my wife's aunt and uncle's house. Well, we weren't staying with them. We were staying with cousins, but like,
he left a car.
Yeah, he like had bought like a Jeep Cherokee, the smaller Jeep, you know, older one, like several years old, probably. That he was just like, yeah, you guys can just have this. And apparently, the transmission was bad on it, so it probably honestly it was more pain trying to like figure out what to do with it than it would have been to keep it. So, yeah, he helped a whole bunch of stuff. Like they have a storage unit. That's where there's this PS4 is in a storage unit in a backpack. With a bunch of, I mean, it was a bunch of their family stuff, but also some of this guy's stuff, the student stuff that he was just like, yeah, I don't want to take this back with me to the UK.
Man, so. To have so much money that you just leave your game console in your car that you just don't care about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it wasn't worth his time to get $5,000 for his old Jeep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I did get the PS4. I was able to recover my, PlayStation gamer tag. I thought I was going to have to call like Sony support because I couldn't remember the password. And the email, basically what started out was, so the email associated with the account is a Yahoo email. And everybody knows Yahoo is like about expired 10 years ago, plus as far as being like relevant and good, and user friendly. So I still have access to that Yahoo email. Like I have that. It's like my second email I've ever created. So I've kind of just always kept a hold of it. But so it was on a Yahoo email, but apparently it had been so long since I'd accessed that Yahoo email that it, number one, erased my entire inbox. So all these emails that I had from like 15, 16, like the first emails I had ever sent, basically like 15, which I don't need them per se, but it was kind of cool because I remember like going back a few years ago and looking at them, but whatever, not the point. So all those were gone. And also
it pause like, there. So that's why I log into my AOL email every 3 months because they have.
I didn't know this was a thing, but it must be a thing with Yahoo, AOL, and the older kind of.
I think. Legacy. Yeah, Gmail doesn't care. They'll just let you run it for it. Well, yeah. They have. I think it's years, but like, yeah, if you don't log in after so long, they will purge your data.
Yeah, so I didn't know that. I mean, why would I have known that? So, but also the other thing, the other issue was it kind of like puts your mailbox in hibernation mode, so like you stop getting emails. And so I'm on Sony's website, you know, trying to get the recovery link sent to the Yahoo email. And it sent like the first time. But when I went to it, it had me try to answer my security questions, which one was like, where was I born? And I tried literally every variation of where I've been born, where I was born, and none of them worked. And the other one was your date of birth. Put my date of birth in 12/14/93, didn't work.
You probably set up that account when you were too young and used a different birthday.
Exactly. No, I set it up. I set it up probably when I was like 15 or 16. So I probably put my date of birth as like 1890 or something stupid, or, you know, 1935, whatever. You know, you scroll back and then where it stops, you hit it type of a thing.
I've seen people do that before where they're like, oh, this is a waste of my time. So they just click the, like my birthday is 1/1/1965 or whatever the default is. And then when they go to recover their account, they have no idea what any of their data is.
Yeah, so neither of those worked. I was like, oh, great. I'm going to have to call support. And then I was doing like they have this like automated mod, like chat bot that you can talk to that is supposed to like basically help you out without having to talk to a human. And I didn't realize it, but it shuts off at 10 p.m. So I was like talking to it. It was like 9:58 p.m. And then the links weren't coming. So I kept trying. I was like, send me the recovery link to my email. And then it just stopped like working. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll just deal with this the next morning or the next day. So this was last Wednesday. So last Thursday I get back on there and by that point in the afternoon, I'd gotten an email from Yahoo saying like, oh, we see you're back. We've turned your inbox back on, essentially is what it said. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And so then I went and did the recovery thing, sent me the recovery link immediately. And I was like, okay, so we're already making better progress than we were yesterday. Clicked on it. And the difference was before I had done it, you know, when you go to sign into something and it says like forgot password ? Or like need help or whatever. I had done it that way. And that is when it had directed me to enter my recovery answers. So this time I went back to that chat bot. Did it through that because they have like when you're on the support page for like forgot passwords, the chatbot like automatically is geared to like help you with that problem. And so it immediately is just like, all right, what's your email address? Type an email address in. And it's like, what's your PlayStation ID associated with the account? Type that in, Rain 101. And then it's immediately, no questions asked, sent me the, it was like, all right, we sent an email to that account. And I was like, okay, cool. Click on that email, which I, again, had gotten immediately now that my inbox was turned back on. Didn't ask me any of the recovery questions, just was like, type in your new password. And I was like, okay, this seems a little thinly protected here, but typed in my new password, let me reset my password, not having to answer any security questions.
This is why I always tell people that if you're not gonna, like, if you're a person that uses like the same two passwords everywhere, the one place that you should have a unique password with two-factor authentication, if you do it nowhere else, is your email, because it resets everything. Reset your banking password, email. Reset your Xbox password, email. Reset your Steam password, email. Your email should be the safest password you have. Maybe your banking passwords also, but like, email can reset your banking. So like, email, if that's the one password you need to be right. So they just assume if you can get into your email that you have the account, the right.
Yeah,
to
the thing is though, I still like, half the reason why I could never get a new laptop is because of the amount of passwords saved, like in my I guess it's in my Google keychain, so like I would be able to get it again, but still.
Yeah, it just carries over. Like, or you can Yahoo export it as an Excel file and then import it.
Yahoo email address, couldn't tell you, no idea what the password is. It's just saved.
So if you go to passwords.google.com and enter your Google password, you can actually read the passwords.
Yeah, I know. I've done that before.
I have to do that all the time for my, well, I'm not going to tell you which password, but.
But anyways, yeah, so I got in there, signed in on the PlayStation, sent friend requests to a bunch of random people. I was like, hey, and it was funny. I think 2014 was the last time that I had accessed this account. So roughly nine years. It was about this time, honestly, 9 years ago, because I had a weird summer job that year. And I was playing the first three Uncharted games kind of back to back to back that summer. But yeah, so there you go. I'm in. Yeah. And I agree with you. The UI sucks. The PlayStation Store sucks.
It's way worse on PS3, but.
Yeah, well, I vaguely remember that. It was, again, 9 years ago, obviously, which I don't even know what happened to that PS3. But yeah, anyways.
It actually got worse. PS4 is better than PS5 as far as UI. They took a step back.
Well, I'm never going to have a PS5, except for maybe 9 years from now, when I get one for free from an exchange student that doesn't want to take it back to his home country. So yeah, I signed up for I already had an Xbox Deals account. Well, now I have a PS Deals account, so I could sign up for email alerts for when Spider-Man drops in price, Game of the Year edition, so that I can play that. It's weird. So the physical version of Spider-Man Game of the Year, the codes for the DLC expires. It says it on the case.
Oh, is it already past the expiration date?
Yeah, it was August 2022.
So, like, you looked it up?
Yeah, I was like, I don't care. I'm never going to take the disc out. Like, this is the only game I want to play for the next year, probably, because of how little I'll get to it, you know? Like, I know God of War is great and some other stuff is great, but, like, really, I just want to play Spider-Man. So I was like, I'll get the disc. Like, I don't care. I'll get it and play it that way. But, yeah, it's, like, it's cheap because
the DLC. Okay, well, I can solve your problem here. Don't bother with the DLC then, because it's instanced anyway. Like, when you beat the game, you have to launch all three of the DLCs from the main menu, and each one is almost like its own save file, and it's a different story, and it's not significant. So, I mean, Black Cat's involved, but like, it's like a side story almost. So, and there's so much content in the base game. I played all of the DLC, and I don't even really recommend it. Like, if you really wanted to play the story, you could, but I don't feel like you're missing out on anything. So I would just buy the base PlayStation 4 Spider-Man game and not even worry about it. Plus, you can always buy the DLC next time they have a DLC sale digitally for like $5 or $10. That would be your best solution. Otherwise, you got to wait for the digital version to be on sale, which it probably will be sooner rather than later, but I'm telling you, that DLC isn't really that great. It's just more of the same, and the story is nothing fancy. I mean, the game is great, but the main game story is so much better than the DLC story. It's just like a side story with Black Cat and her dad and Hammerhead and it's honestly just like, it feels like an excuse just to make more of the game last a little longer with DLC.
The city that never sleeps.
Yeah. The heist. Anyway, man, we are still in the intro. I'll go
Silver
quick.
Silver Sable too, right?
Yeah, she's in it. Forza Horizon 5, Hummer EV, I did unlock that as well. And then Jedi Survivor. So I said last week when you weren't here, Spencer, that I was going to 100% it, get a 1,000 gamer score. And so I spent the last week just going at it really hard. And I'm at 48 hours played. So I'm just shy of 50 hours played. And I'm at all achievements but two. And the last two achievements are bugged because one of them is to have scanned every enemy type, which means you have to kill all the legendary enemies and all the contracts to scan those types of enemies. But so I can't do that one because the other one is bugged. And the one that's bugged is complete every contract in the game, which is you have to impress the bounty hunter vendor. And there's some set of circumstances with this game where the bounty hunter lady will accidentally give you one of the end game battle, like one of the final bounty hunter bounties out of order. And if you complete that one, because I ran into this person not realizing that I wasn't supposed to have done that one yet and killed that person, and now it won't give me any more bounties because it thinks I'm six or seven bounties farther than I am. So like I completed like, I don't know, eight or nine bounties, maybe it was seven. And then I killed this one that was supposed to be 14th or 15th. So now it won't spawn any of the bounties between 8 and 15 or 8 and 13, whatever it was that I'm missing. And because of that, it won't unlock, it won't unlock the final bounty. Supposedly, I saw in their forums that they're aware of it and they're working on a patch. So I'm just setting the game aside and I'll finish my bounties once the next patch comes out. Pretty frustrating, though, because I had put a tiny little bow on it. Like I had done nearly everything in the game and I was setting out clearing the map of everything. So I was getting all the skill points. I was getting all the costumes, all the lightsaber parts, all the blaster parts, everything. But I started cutting back on the stuff that didn't go towards achievements because I've already maxed out my skill tree. I don't know what I would do with all the extra skill points. Like I have too many skill points. I literally have nothing else to spend them on. So there's no reason for me to go around collecting those. And the customization stuff, I don't know that there is either, since I'm the only way I would play it again is if there's DLC or I do New Game Plus, which I don't plan on doing right now after I just played 50 hours. So really like the game. Texture popping, still a problem. Resolution, not great. Ghosting, still a problem. But gameplay-wise, top-notch. Really, really, really loved it. I hope they do a third one. I think there's a lot of room for one. I think involving some temptation from the dark side is clearly where the third one is headed. And I think that would be cool. So, and then after I beat it, I was in a Star Wars mood. Well, not beat it. After I had maximized every achievement, except for the one that's bugged, I decided to keep playing Star Wars. And I started playing a bunch of Star Wars Racer. And I have 1.5 circuits left until I'm done with all the races. And then I have some achievements to clean up on that. And then I'll have a 1,000 gamer score on Star Wars Racer as well. I don't know if I'll stick on this kick and go ahead and do Racer Revenge that I bought when I got this game. But other games on my to-do list are I'd like to play some more Assassin's Creed Valhalla and try and finish the story before Mirage comes out. And then A Plague Tale Requiem is another one I'd like to get back to and finish that up, especially since it got that 60 FPS patch. So that's kind of what's on my to-do list. And that's actually a good segue talking about Assassin's Creed Mirage, because our first story this week is we're going to talk through Ubisoft Forward, which was their not E3 event that occurred on this last Monday. They had a little montage in the middle where they talked about a bunch of games really quickly. And we're not really going to talk about those because they were not that significant. It was like updates for existing games like Riders Republic and stuff like that. But let's talk about the new reveals, new trailers, new updates. Let's see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games that are worth talking about. Okay, number one, Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. We got a release date and a ton of gameplay. Release date December 7th, which I'm really surprised how late in the year that is, after Black Friday, which is always interesting to see that, since Black Friday back in the day was a big selling holiday, but now as games are more and more digital, it seems to matter less and less for video games. I thought this looked really strong. The gameplay showed that it was a mix of Na'vi weapons and human weapons, so you're kind of a person of both worlds. And I'm still into this. I'm still enjoying what I'm seeing. Spencer, did you watch the trailer for this, the gameplay?
No, I'm pulling it up right now. I watched the Assassin's Creed one. That was the only one that I watched from this.
You watched Star Wars Outlaws too. I know you did.
Oh, well, yes. I did watch the full 10 minutes of that. You are right.
Okay. Well, I think I'm in for this. I don't know that I need to see much more. If reviews come out before the game comes out, that might influence me a little bit, because depending on what I'm still playing from the games that come out the month prior, I may just wait until reviews or, you know, consensus of what people are thinking as far as the game's performance and gameplay. But I thought it looked really cool. I think they're going to probably use the whole like tail, like syncing with the tree thing from the movie to be a way to like do upgrades. Like you talk to the tree once you have enough, whatever. And that gives you, they didn't say this. This is kind of just the vibe I got from what they did say, because they were kind of showing some gameplay of the doing that from the movie while talking about like upgrades. So I think those two are tied together. It's been almost a week since I watched this.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, it looks pretty cool. I'm like kind of scrubbing through right now, and I mean, it looks really pretty. Lots of pretty colors. I don't know. I mean, I'm not as interested in the whole Avatar aesthetic. Like, I haven't seen the new movie. And I've just, so I'm not like that invested into the ecosystem, but I mean, it looks cool.
They did also trot out James Cameron to sell it, like to have him talk about it and the partnership and the technology and stuff.
Yeah,
also, I believe it's set between the two movies, because I think they say like when the humans get kicked off world at the end of the first one, for some reason, this person that you're playing is somebody that gets put in cryostasis or whatever for 15 years and then wakes up 15 years later. But I think there's some part of it that's parallel with one of the movies, I think, is what James Cameron implied. But it looks better than my expectations, and that's how I felt about the last movie. It exceeded, like, yeah. I didn't want to see it, and I saw it, and I really enjoyed it. The only thing I questioned is whether it's going to be fun to play, like, it, in first person, shooting with guns. Is it just going to feel like any other shooter? You know all those the games from, like, the N64 era, where, like, it would be licensed or whatever, and it just felt like a generic shooter skinned as insert at movie X here. I don't think that's what this is going to feel like, but that would be the fear.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. X Defiant was the next one. This was super vague, but they basically said it's launching later this summer with, they're dating Avatar in December, but X Defiant, they're saying launching later this summer in air quotes. They're going to have a 6-week preseason and then a main season. The interesting thing is this sounds like a robust map of content coming to it. They said in year one, they're going to add 4 new factions, which is like new, like heroes equivalent, 12 new weapons and 12 new maps. So it sounds like they're going to have a new faction every quarter, which will bring new gameplay and new meta to the game, and then new weapons and new maps every month, which I think is a consistent amount of content. I mean, if Halo Infinite had come out of the gate saying we're going to have a new map, a new weapon, and a new, I don't know, whatever, game type every month, I feel like Halo Infinite wouldn't have been derided for its lack of content.
Nothing.
Forever, yeah. The other update they had on X Defiant was open beta June 21st to 23rd, which is that mid this week? Yeah, that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of this week. And it's an open beta, so anyone can download it. This is starting to win me over just because it's going to be free to play and it looks like a decent multiplayer game, but I want to get hands on with it. So hopefully I have some time later this week to actually check it out. Spencer, I know this probably isn't up your alley.
Nope, sure isn't.
Well, speaking of not up your alley, number 3, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. This spoke to me because it's a Metroidvania.
It looks really cool, actually. Like the gameplay looks pretty frenetic. Like the movement, jumping back and forth and dodging mm-hmm. spikes and dodging moving objects. And I don't know, it's kind of interesting looking.
They dated it January 18th. It's being developed by Ubisoft Montpellier. And The only thing that's scaring me away from this one is it doesn't feel like a $50, $60, $70 game. I think it's priced at $60 or $70. And it does feel like a slightly smaller affair. So that feels kind of pricey.
It kind of reminds me of like a combination of like Lara Croft and the Temple of Osiris? Like, is that what it was called?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The Lara Croft games.
Yeah, it reminds me of that combined with like the Sea of Thieves art style. A little less ridiculous, but still similar kind of animation style.
I'm sorry, it's only $50.
The side scroller. Having a modern side scroller like that, I think, is the selling point for this game.
Yeah, I like the idea of a Metroidvania in the Prince of Persia vein. I was wrong. It's not $60 or $70, it's $50. So I think that's more reasonable. It's $60 for the deluxe edition or whatever it's called. Yeah, deluxe edition. So this one definitely on my radar. Also, it's coming out in January, and depending on how crammed January ends up being, in the last few years it ended up having some games that got delayed, but if this is, you know, kind of alone in January, it might be interesting. But it does have Starfield is going to be on people's minds for a long time after launch, and then Avatar is in December, so it's coming out right after that as far as room in my schedule. The next one is the most hilarious, Skull and Bones. They didn't give basically any update. They had five people on stage singing a sea shanty of the Everyone's Skull favorite. And Bones theme, which was very catchy. It was actually pretty good, but it was a sea shanty, and the only announcement they had is a beta August 25th through 28th. So two months from now, beta? They're going to have a beta. I think so. They just said beta. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll check it out. I'll definitely check out a beta for this.
Yeah, and they didn't give a whole lot of details. It was almost like the guys got up there, sang their song, and then they're like, yeah, beta coming. But I think they didn't say it. I think it was on the screen or something. It's hard for me to remember. It was a week ago, and this was the least consequential thing at the show, if you ask me. Like, it was made fun of later, because it's like... It also felt weird, because the guys on stage... Actually, I think it was all guys singing the sea shanty. They were just, like, standing there alone in normal clothes with one mic stand, it felt like. Like, it was a black stage. There was not like a presentation about it. It just felt like some guys randomly went up there. It would be like if five guys randomly went up on stage during Microsoft's press conference and started beatboxing, and then were just like, beta so they, later.
Ubisoft uploaded a music video for the sea shanty theme, and I'm like scrubbing through it. And man, this is definitely looks like a Ubisoft game. Like the people, the animations, everything about it. I'm like, this is Ubisoft. This is Assassin's Creed.
You talk about Skull and Bones?
Yeah, Skull and Bones. Yeah. This is Assassin's Creed the last X number of years, but like not as good. So I don't know. I mean, I don't have a ton of faith in it just because it's like the MMO style, and also because it's Ubisoft. So I mean, the beta will be helpful, I suppose, but I don't have a ton of faith.
It's multiplayer only now, isn't it? Isn't that what we complained about last time? Yeah. Okay. So the next one they spent a lot of time with that I thought was a little too much, the Crew Motorfest. They had a trailer and then somebody talking, and then they did gameplay for quite a while. They're really hyping this up. I always forget how big the Crew is. To me, the Crew does not anywhere touch Forza Horizon 5 or any of the Forza Horizons, but they do have a huge following. Maybe I just haven't given the Crew a chance, but so maybe this is way bigger than I think it is. But the next one, the Crew Motorfest, which is the third game in the series, is coming September 14th. This one, I don't think I'm definitely not interested. Maybe I'll play it in the future if it is a really solid game. But how many car games can you fit in your life if you want to play a lot of games? It's just not that much room.
I mean, this one is intriguing to me because it's set in Hawaii, which is kind of cool. And there's also like kind of another thing that I noticed, there's like kind of a little bit more depth of customization, like what you can put stuff in your truck and like that type of thing. Doesn't matter, but it's just kind of maybe the next step, you know, a minor kind of innovation for a game like Forza. But obviously they're straight up ripping Forza, which is fine. I mean, it's one of the best-selling
Motorfest instead of Horizon Festival.
Yeah.
Not that Motor Festivals is any kind of like original thing for Horizon either.
Right. Yeah, obviously not. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I mean, I'm not sure if it looks any better than, I don't think it looks any better than Forza Horizon 5, but I mean, I forget. Yeah. Can you drive things other than cars in the crew? Is that the whole thing? Like originally you could drive like boats and.
I don't know if in the crew too, what types of vehicles.
Am I thinking of, is that the right game?
I think so. Cause the crew one was the one where you could go like across the nation.
Yeah.
But then I don't know what the hook in the crew two was. I don't remember from the, I think I own the crew one on Xbox, but I never really checked it out for more than like 15 minutes. I'm going to see right now. I think they gave it away with Games with Gold or something.
Maybe.
I'm clicking on it right now. Oh my gosh. The search on Xbox.com is the worst. Yeah. Because if you search for something and it isn't the exact like drop down, it won't return game results. It'll return search results. I don't understand why they made it this frustrating. It's because of their relationship with Bing and Microsoft, but the Xbox search should only search for Xbox stuff. Like, I hate it when it does that. Okay. Crew Motorfest, moving on. Next one was Assassin's Creed Mirage. We had a ton of gameplay for this. There was also a story trailer, then somebody talking, then a bunch of gameplay. Before we talk about the gameplay, did you hear about the controversy? There's a point in the trailer where Bassem targets three characters and then executes basically what looks like a teleport where he kills one, kills the next one, kills the third one. And
no, I did not hear about that.
People went to Reddit and Twitter and started complaining that it was immersion breaking and that he was basically using magic. And I don't think they explain it in the game from what we were shown, and I'm sure they probably won't either in the final game, but I guess you just have to in some cases suspend disbelief because video games have to be fun and games. But also remember Odyssey had all kinds of mystical abilities that were not really explained at all, except for that you had some and mystical staff.
You fought like the Minotaur and why can't I remember Medusa and like other like mythological things because of the, they were all Isu connected. So, I mean, there's Isu magic in all of the recent games.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are ways to explain it. Also, the animation on the first guy he jumps to, it kind of makes it look like he just moves really fast. But then it does seem like a teleport when he goes to the second and the third very clearly, because all it would take is showing a frame or two of him like just moving really fast to explain it as like a boost or something. But I don't know. I didn't mind it at all. I didn't even notice it the first time through. I had to, once I heard this controversy, I went back and watched it. And I was like, okay, maybe I see what you're saying, but it didn't bother me. What did you think of this gameplay? Definitely a focus on alternatives to combat, right? The return of emphasis on sleep darts and throwing knives and smoke bombs and distractions and assassination, and definitely a different pace compared to the all-out combat of Origins, Odyssey, and Valhalla.
Yeah, I mean, it reminded me obviously a lot of Assassin's Creed 1. I mean, that was the whole point, or that is the whole point of this game, I feel like. But yeah, it really did, like, honestly, like, when I was watching it, like the part after the player assassinated somebody, you know, when they were hanging on a rope, or not hanging on a rope, sitting on a rope, and then when they were escaping from the guards, it was like, oh wow, this is a lot like Assassin's Creed 1, just kind of the desert setting, you know, jumping around the different ropes and the kind of the wood beams and, you know, the flat roofs. I was like, man, this is a lot like, and it's in Damascus, I think, which I thought was, I can't remember what, I know Acre, I think Damascus is one of the cities in the first game, isn't it? It's like Acre, Damascus,
I think so.
And.
But I didn't think it was, I thought it was somewhere else. I thought it was set somewhere else.
I thought it was Damascus. Maybe it's not.
I'm going to Google it.
But yeah, I mean, it looks a lot like classic Baghdad.
I knew it was somewhere
That's
else.
Right.
Yeah, it's set in Baghdad.
Very similar to Damascus, though.
Did you hear that they're going to have a filter that lets you skin the whole game as blue gray, so it looks the same as Assassin's Creed 1?
I saw that.
Instead of the vibrant like colors of HDR that we have now.
Yeah, I do. I did see that, or I did recall that. So I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely not as interested in this game as I have historically been in Assassin's Creed year over year. I mean, that's for a variety of reasons, obviously. Like, we've talked about it a lot on the show, kind of being a little burned out on Assassin's Creed generally, or at least I am. So I'll be following it. You know, if it gets really, really good reviews, maybe I'll check it out. But I'm not going to be buying this day one like I have been with Assassin's Creed over the last, you know, number of years. But I'm
very attracted to the fact that it's not a 100-hour plus RPG, that it seems like it's going to be a tighter 20-hour open world story game, which I find really attractive.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's definitely true. I agree with you there, but I don't know.
Okay. And finally, the big one, Star Wars Outlaws. So we talked about it last week because it was revealed at the Xbox showcase and we knew gameplay would be coming at Ubisoft Forward. And they did follow up with that. They had 10 minutes of gameplay. They revealed that it's set between episodes 5, The Empire Strikes Back, and 6, The Return of the Jedi. The game's coming in 2024. No more date set than that. It's third person. The animal companion Nyx can be directed to interact with things or in combat was one of the things that they showed quite a bit of. They showed a speeder for traversal, and they showed taking off into space in your ship, direct into space, which Todd Howard made a point of saying they didn't do in Starfield because the engineering to make that work wasn't worth the gameplay benefit. I will say it appears to be a fake takeoff into space because there's like almost like a fade to white or a fade to black where it transitions from the atmosphere to space. And it seems like all they're doing is you fly up into the clouds and at a certain point it switches over and loads into the next level, which is the space level, which is probably the best way to do it to get the best of both worlds. But it's not like No Man's Sky where it's like almost like seamless. But it was cool. So let's talk about the gameplay. Things stood out to you or that have you concerned or excited? What are you feeling about this? You're obviously a huge Star Wars nerd. You were just playing with your Black Series Luke Skywalker on camera in front of me.
I wasn't on purpose doing that. I was trying to get him to stand up better on my desk because it was annoying me how I had him standing. I have him dueling with Darth Vader right now on my desk here. So Star Wars Outlaws. I'm definitely interested in this because I always have liked the underworld settings in Star Wars. Like, two of my favorite Star Wars Legends books are Tales from Jabba's Palace and Tales of the Bounty Hunters. Just because they're like little kind of anthology, like vignettes almost, like about different characters within those realms. And this obviously Star Wars Outlaws, so you're going to be dealing with bounty hunters and things like Jabba's Palace. Maybe you'll even go to Jabba's Palace, which is pretty cool of an idea. Because other than like Star Wars Battlefront, we've never seen Jabba's Palace in video games in the 40 years since it first came out, you know, in Return of the Jedi. So that would be cool. But as far as this gameplay goes, you know, it looks fine, I guess. The having the little creature like distract or do little things in combat or when you're sneaking around, it's like, all right, whatever. That type of stuff is kind of annoying.
BD1 basically does the same thing.
Right. So
just not in combat.
Yeah. So that was kind of exactly, that was kind of what I thought too. I was like, this kind of reminds me of BD1 in a way, having just like this cute in quotes, like little sidekick companion that sits on your back, just like BD1. I was like, all right, come on guys. Do we really need to have something like this again?
I mean, but don't we really have that? Isn't that almost like a trope of Star Wars? We have BB-8 and R2-D2.
I hate BB-8 so much.
And
soccer ball.
Grogu. Like,
yeah,
every Star Wars movie has the cute little character that doesn't have a voice that... It's just been there. I'm trying to think if there's any movies that don't have it. I guess Rogue One technically doesn't. And
I don't know if I'd count R2-D2 in that same category, but certainly, you know, BB-8, BD-1, the one that they introduced in The Rise of Skywalker, Baby Yoda maybe to an extent, like, sure, yeah, there's a lot of
Babu Frick
characters. I thought the character design is interesting. Like, she looks like an 80s person, like big time, which fits the aesthetic of the return or the original trilogy. You know, kind of the people's hairstyles were very 80s because it was in the 80s when they filmed them. So But that was something that came across to me. I was like, oh wow, she looks like she could be like in the United States in the 1980s with that hair. But I don't know, you know, the blaster gameplay was interesting. You know, you picked up a rifle at one point.
It's kind of reminded me of Guardians of the Galaxy, because she was switching between the type of ammo in her blaster to take down different things. She switched to some
electric
shock stuff to take down a shielded enemy. Which
the traversal stuff was super cool. Like when she got on the speeder and was kind of going through in mm-hmm. the city, that was really neat. I mean, that's something that like that whole concept is something that I didn't know I wanted in Star Wars, like in a Star Wars game, but
I did like the speeder too.
Yeah. It kind of made me think like, I mean, maybe it's different because I'm not playing it, but in Jedi Survivor, when you go to that first planet where Grease's Cantina is, it's kind of like the first hub. And that's like a little village, I guess, with like random farmers and other people around. And there's, you know, some people and things going on. But I don't know, this one looked better than that. Like it looked like that, but like with actually like lived in community with stuff going on, not just kind of like the cantina and then like the shop next to it and the random stuff that's there in the Jedi Survivor one. So I don't know.
Used not a grappling hook, but like she threw a rope with a hook on it and she swung on it at one point, which reminded me of, cause you have a grappling hook in Jedi Survivor, but it reminded me of Uncharted 4, where you have more of like a hook and rope that you would throw and then swing on. But
yeah,
I think this is a really strong showing. I'm glad did they didn't show this until they had this much gameplay.
24.
Yeah, 2024. Which
interesting.
It's a Ubisoft game and it's a Star Wars game, so I think it's pretty safe to assume this is going to be a Q4 or late Q3 game, especially since they didn't date it now. Like, yeah. Why would you? They would have dated it if it was Q1.
Yeah.
So I think it's safe to say it's going to be late in the year.
Yeah, probably.
But so alternative to that, they did show gameplay, and not a lot of times they don't want to show gameplay a year and a half out. So that counterpoint would say, well, maybe it's not a year and a half out. Maybe it's next summer, because the gameplay they maybe would have held off on longer.
Yeah, I wonder and I wonder too, like how much of this will be different a year from now or whenever this comes out. Like, will the open world kind of, you know, transitioning into the town like that, will that really still be like that or feel a lot more dead, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. And, you know, this was probably running on a high-end PC versus what's it like once they, you know, optimize it for console.
Yeah.
I thought this, I said this last week, we all picked a favorite game of like the show. This was my pick for like the biggest surprise and the best thing that I saw. Like this was the most, like at the most, I was like, whoa.
Yeah, I think for me, like this was cool and obviously a surprise, like for once. Obviously Starfield, like you can't even count Starfield because it was incredible. I really liked what I saw with Forza Motorsport. I liked what I saw with Clockwork Revolution. That game, I mean, I have a lot
really of looks good
expectations for that game just because of the people working on it. And kind of the stuff that I've seen after the fact. Like I watched the trailer and then I saw kind of some interviews and some other discussion on it after the fact this past week. That has me really excited about it. When we see it, probably not for 2 years at least, I would say. But this game does look pretty cool. And then I would say, since I wasn't here last week, I'll just briefly say like, Avowed, I don't know how to feel about, and Fable, I don't know how to feel about. I didn't really like the Fable trailer. Like I know Fable, I've played the first three games. Like I understand it's a goofy game, goofy British humor, but I don't know. It just felt a little weird. And also like that actor, I can't remember his name. His like, I hate when like,
he's from the IT crowd, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't know, but I hate when prominent looking actors are straight up like in the game. Like the actress that plays Seer in Jedi Survivor, and then she has a role in Wolfenstein. I'm like, man, like she seems just like the exact same character every time, and she's such a unique look about her that it's distracting. And that's kind of how that felt with that guy. But I don't know. Fable is like whatever. It'll be a while, I feel like, before that game even comes out. Like Avowed will certainly be out before it. So it's really kind of hard to judge it at this early of a stage. And it's the first time we've really seen anything about it anyway. So
I just, yeah, he is the guy from the IT Crowd. He's a UK comedian.
Yeah. And then the other thing that
Richard Ayoade, I think is how you say his last name. A-Y-O-A-D-E. I recognize the face and what he's been in, but I didn't know his name. So that's the first time I'm seeing that. You were about to say?
I didn't know until today that Avowed is in the same universe as Pillars of Eternity.
Every time I am told that or I read that, I go, oh, interesting. And then I forget again, and I'm surprised the next time.
No idea.
Yeah, they said there'll be some shared characters, but otherwise, it seems like for people like me that want to play a standalone game, it's
I tried fine. Playing Pillars of Eternity 2 off of Game Pass, and I don't know, I couldn't really get into it. It looks cool, like a lot of it looks neat, but I don't know.
Yeah, last week on the show, I think Gus said that he wants you to buy Diablo 4 because he wants to buy it, and if you bought it, he would buy it to play with you. Just
it saying. It is co-op, and I've been told that it's more fun when you play co-op, so.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else from last week that we would want to hear your take on. Here's a final one. Overall, how did you feel about the Xbox presentation after years of kind of letdowns and a lack of first
party?
It was
pretty solid. I think there's a lot to look forward to for the first time in forever. I mean, definitely, I would say, you know, they always tweet out kind of the graphic of all the games, you know, like these games will be on Game Pass day one, blah, 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 whatever. I mean, of all of those on that graphic, I would say at least half of them I have some amount of interest in. Obviously, Starfield, Forza, Avowed, Fable, Clockwork Revolution. I'm probably forgetting one or two, but certainly those from the first party I'm very interested in, I would say.
Yeah.
And we didn't even mention Phantom Liberty. Like, that trailer was awesome. I'm so excited for that game. I was reading some hands-on kind of previews after the fact about it, and it's almost like when last spring when they released kind of the 1.0 patch, it almost seems like this is now the 2.0 patch, so there's even more kind of evolution, more depth.
Oh yeah, we talked about that because they're totally reworking the game. Pop system, new skill tree system.
Yeah, the skill tree system is the big one. It's getting totally reworked, which is cool. I'm really excited for that. And a new ending. I wonder when they say new ending, I wonder if that is because right now it's kind of like Mass Effect where you can play the game up to the suicide mission or up to the, you know, the final mission. And then, like, that's where it stops, because then when you start the final mission, there's the point of no return, and you can't go back to, like, a pre...
Or you My can't assumption go to is a, you're going to have to do a new playthrough to get the new option.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, they changed it with Fallout 3 without having you do a new playthrough. Because Fallout 3, originally, it ended, and if you wanted to play the game again, you had to load your save before the final mission. So, but then with one of the final DLCs, they added a continuation from that story point. So I wonder if that's what they mean, if it'll be like a continuation from that story point so that you don't have to, you know, reload a save, you know, type of a thing. Although to be fair, I think if I had to say right now, like if I was booting up Cyberpunk with my save that's right before that point of no return, I probably would just go play the DLC. Like I wouldn't play the ending mission again because it takes forever. It's very long. The ending sequence from the point of no return on is like 2 hours. Like it's very long.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Reminds me of I forget.
Actually, the thing is though, there is multiple endings and multiple ways that things can go. So I don't even know. I will be curious to see how they handle that, because there's endings where your character dies. There's endings where your character goes to space. There's endings where your character just goes off with the nomad people. There's all sorts of different ways the game can go. So sorry if that's a spoiler, but the game came out 2.5 years ago.
So I just Googled it, and I beat Metal Gear Solid 4 at like 1 or 2 in the morning when I was, I don't know what year that came out, but I was in college or high school. I don't remember. And the final cutscene in Metal Gear Solid 4 is 71 minutes long. Jeez. Can you imagine? You beat the game and it's 1 hour and 11 minutes of additional. And I had to pee, and I don't think you could pause it. And I was like, this is insane.
I remember that. I remember playing Metal Gear Solid 4 and watching my stepbrother play it on PS4, and just like, I remember just like sitting there, and there would just be like a cutscene would start, and then it was like 15 minutes later and the cutscene was still, there was so many long cutscenes in that game.
So it's 2008. So I was in, probably a junior in college, maybe a senior. June. So it would have been the summer between junior and senior year. Yeah. It that right there is one of the reasons I don't want to replay the game. That I refuse to replay it on PS3. I hope that the volume two of the Metal Gear Solid collection includes that to get it off PS3, because it really is rough on PS3. But okay, let's talk about some other news of the week outside of Ubisoft Forward. Unless you were wanting to say anything else about Xbox.
No,
I feel the same as you last week, that it generally was the best showing we've had in a long time. And I don't think I've ever seen more first party games from Xbox, just like sheer volume. Like, Phil Spencer made some sort of tweet or interview remark this last week where people were irritated that they didn't show anything from Halo. And his response was, there were years where Xbox's only things they had to show were Halo, Gears, and Forza. And so the fact that we had this many games to show you and not show Halo speaks to the kind
of
growth.
There was no Gears, which is kind of surprising to some people.
And I think it was strong. I think Gears 6 is going to be a while and it needs time. I think they've only been in production on it for like 6 months or a year, because I think they took a little break in between to do some other stuff. But okay, number two of the major stories. Skyrim has now sold 60 million. So one of the fallout from last week was that Todd Howard did a bunch of interviews, and he did a lengthy one with IGN talking about Starfield. And in it, he casually, maybe not realizing he had dropped a truth bomb, said that Skyrim had now sold 60 million units, which is significant because of publicly known numbers, this now makes it the seventh best-selling game of all time. Which is hilarious, because if you remember, just recently we found out Witcher 3 had sold 50 million, which put it in the top 10. But now this comes out selling 60 million, which knocks Witcher 3 down one peg. So Skyrim is now, I believe, the seventh best-selling game of all time, which is just staggeringly impressive. And I think you would assume that, because the last update we got on this was a long time ago, and it had only sold 30 million. But that was like 6, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And they've obviously released it twice since then, and a lot of people double dipped and a lot of people triple dipped. I think technically you could quadruple dip. No, maybe it's only double dip, unless you go to multiple consoles, which some people do. Own it on PC and on console. Own it on PlayStation, console, and Xbox, and PC. I mean, there's just so many ways you can quadruple dip on this or more. Spencer, does it shock you that Skyrim is one of the best-selling games of all time?
I mean, the cynical response is no, because they've re-released it 11 times. I mean, I bought it. Let me look to my left here.
You probably have four copies. Two for 360, one for Xbox One, and one for Series X.
That's true. I'm trying to revive the Elder Scrolls Anthology that was on PC down there, and I'm trying to remember if Skyrim was in it or if it was just the first four.
I think it is. So just technically you own it on PC too. No, I think it does have Skyrim.
Well, yeah, I think I own it. I only own it four ways. Four ways.
Two on 360 and Xbox One and Series X.
PC, 360, Xbox One, Series X, if you count the 10th anniversary edition as Series X.
The anthology does in fact include Skyrim.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right
now. I own it four times.
That's great, crazy.
But you,
I mean, there are games that I own.
One time, someone bought me the Xbox One version, like Skyrim Special Edition. Someone bought me that. I don't think I bought that myself. Maybe I'm.
You bought the Special Edition with the dragon statue, right?
Outland or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the one that they re-released it on Xbox One.
Yeah, I don't remember if I bought that for you. There's a lot of games that you bought using my I used to have Game Pass, or what do you call it? Best Buy used to have Game Club or whatever, where you could get 10 or 20% off games.
That. Yep.
I used to buy you a lot of games with that. But okay, number three, Overwatch 2 has announced some of their future plans, and we talked recently about how the story missions were now included in like the season passes and the seasonal content. And their next update was going to have their first, I think, three like story missions and co-op missions. But now it's revealed that it's going to cost $15 for that access pass. And maybe this was revealed last time and we just missed it. But people are up in arms now, Spencer, because Overwatch 2 was created under the guise of adding story content and moving over the multiplayer. Then they canceled the story content, and now they're charging $15 for the story content, which a lot of people bought Overwatch 2 both to continue playing Overwatch 1 because they canceled Overwatch 1, even though they said they'd keep it going. But then the promise of Overwatch 2 was story content, which is now not part of Overwatch 2 unless you pay extra to get the DLC. So people were justifiably mad, but in this case, I'm not sure it's going to do anything, because they've already canceled the single player, so it's not like they're going to make it free. I guess they could make the story missions free and make everything else cost money.
I don't even know what's happening here. I just know that they had canceled the single player part of it.
So now they're doing like missions instead of as like a campaign. They're just going to have some campaign like story missions that come in their seasonal content, and you have to pay for it. But people who bought Overwatch 2 felt they were promised a story, and I don't know where the fine line is here, because I don't know if they ever promised that that would be included for free. I don't know if that was assumed to be paid content, but it doesn't matter, because regardless, Activision, in this case Blizzard, is on the hook for bad messaging, because it seems like they've been just muddy about this all the way through. What's included? When's it coming? How are we handling story content? What's it going to cost? If they had been clearer about the expectations from the beginning, people would be less upset now because their expectations are not met. But it does just seem to be a mess. Everything happening with Overwatch right now seems like a very popular game had its goodwill squandered, and now they're playing from their back foot, trying to like stay afloat and keep the fans happy. So none of us play Overwatch, so we'll move on. Number four, continuing the bad news, Embracer had that deal fall through. I think we talked about it on the show several weeks ago. They had a $2 billion deal, and it's not clear if it was like a merger acquisition or if it was just a financial deal for cash influx, like investment. And I don't care enough to Google it to see if that answer is out there. But the important thing to know. Yeah, I thought it was a little gray, but I'm leaving room for me to be wrong because, like I said, I don't care enough to Google it. I don't think it matters to the story what kind of investment it was. It fell through. That's all that matters. But the impact of that is now they're announcing a big restructuring. And I lost my place in my notes here. And I mean big. They're saying they're going to close studios, cancel games, and lay off staff and restructure. And we don't know really anything else beyond that. They have 17,000 employees, and they have a lot of studios. I can't even keep track of all of them. Obviously, we reported on the show and talked about many times about how they gobbled up everything and anything under the sun. But they have lots of stuff that doesn't seem to be worth anything. And then they have a lot of what used to be like the AA space. Like recently, they released Hot Wheels. Hot Wheels Unleashed was them. Saints Row was them. I'm trying to think of other stuff recently. The only thing we really know about this so far is that Crystal Dynamics has come out and said that Tomb Raider and Perfect Dark work that they're doing for Microsoft will not be impacted. But aside from that studio, we don't know who else is safe or not safe. To be honest, I think most of the stuff people care about is probably going to be safe, because the stuff that's going to get axed is either stuff we don't know about yet or stuff that isn't performing and thereby doesn't probably have a large fan base.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people predicted this would happen, right? This is what happens when you just spend money like crazy to acquire everything and anything under the sun with no plan on how to execute it in a way that is financially responsible.
Yeah. It was a question that we did have repeatedly, is like, well, how much, you know, how often and how much can Embracer really acquire before they put something out back out there to get some of that money back? And I guess we kind of reached that point. But yeah, interesting.
I'm sure there'll be a follow-up soon. because eventually they'll announce specifics and then we can talk through that. So we don't really need to dig into it too deep today. I hope you always hate to have people lose their jobs. So hopefully they can find other jobs within Embracer or within the industry. But also it does seem like Embracer has been a little brazen with how they spend cash. To be honest, this is kind of the example of what people are afraid of from Microsoft, like spending a bunch of money, buying stuff really fast, not having a plan, and then it all falling apart. The difference is Microsoft is a huge company with a diverse revenue stream to where Xbox isn't the only thing on the balance sheet. They're a game studio. Exactly. And the only other thing they own is Lord of the Rings, which is a concern. Did you see the other comment they made about Lord of the Rings? They said they need to be, what do they call it? Not abusing, exploiting. They said we need to be exploiting every dollar we can make out of Lord of the Rings. Yeah. So we're going to turn that into a major video game franchise. And I was like, and your first swing of the sword on that is Gollum and that Middle Earth dwarf mining crafting sim or crafting survival game that we talked about last week. Those are your first two salvos of Lord of the Rings games under the Embracer umbrella. Now, those were probably in development long before now, but we know they were. But still, like, come out of the gate with something big, high budget, like a Lord of the Rings RPG.
Or a Lord of the Rings game about any other named character from the trilogy.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Lord of the Rings, Aragorn or Legolas. Probably even Gimli would be more interesting.
How about Gandalf when he was young?
Yeah. More interesting.
Okay. Number five. People Can Fly, the developer that previously has given us games such as Gears of War Judgment, Bulletstorm, Outriders, and others. They currently consist of multiple studios around the world, I believe 5 or 6 locations. And reports I saw showed them at like a headcount of like 700 people now, which is pretty sizable. That's like catching up to Bungie in size. Not quite Bungie, but they, through a financial disclosure, had to disclose that they are working on something for Microsoft. Now, we don't know very much, and the original citation on this, I think, is in Polish. I'm actually not sure about that.
Yeah, it is Polish.
I clicked on the website, and it's asking me to translate Polish. But what we do know is that the total production budget of the game is between $30 and $50 million U.S., that it's a co-production or an owned project. I think they don't disclose the difference between the two, that the IP would be owned by Microsoft. What we don't know is whether they're working on an existing IP or whether they're working on a new IP that will then be owned by Microsoft. It's also, we know it's a AAA game. We know it's called Project Maverick, and that's about it. So I want to throw out there, $30 to $50 million is how much Remedy spent on Control, which was considered relatively low for a AAA game, but obviously Control turned out well. So I guess the question to you is, what type of game would you want it to be? And or do you think this is new IP or that they're mining something existing, like a spinoff, like a Gears of War spinoff, like Tactics, or a Halo spinoff? They have talked about potentially having Halo worked on by other parties, but I don't know that you would throw $30 to $50 million at Halo. I think you would throw more money at Halo if you were going to make something after Halo Infinite that was a spinoff. So I doubt it's Halo. I think we can take Halo and Gears off the board. I would think it's more either a legacy IP that isn't being used or something new that Microsoft wants to own. But it's work for hire, so it seems like they gave them a directive, most likely. Thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it could be another game like Outriders that's kind of, you know, that game, I think, was kind of, I mean, it was a solid game. I don't know if it did as well as they hoped it would do, but I think by and large, it was a solid game and people liked it. So, I mean, that is kind of a weak area that's first party for Xbox right now. You know, that type of looter shooter online experience. So, I mean, I don't know if it makes sense for People Can Fly to do something again very similar to Outriders and then only have it be on Xbox and PC, whereas Outriders is everywhere. But I don't know. It would make sense from that perspective, though, that just because Xbox doesn't have anything like that first party.
Yeah, I think it could be anything. That's the thing. I mean, they've done a lot of shooters, so it's probably a shooter. But they also have said they have multiple games in development because they have so many studios. So it could be something entirely different from one of their other, you know, locations. Okay, number six. The FTC, the U.S. regulatory body, the Federal Trade Commission, has gotten a temporary restraining order to prevent the Activision Blizzard King acquisition by Microsoft. There's a lot being read into this, but I think it's, Spencer, you may know more about this from reading than I do or from a legal standpoint, but it seems to me this is like a procedural thing that just like is stopping.
Yeah.
So that the court proceedings can take place. Yeah, this isn't a block of the merger. This is a pause the merger so we can do the due diligence.
Basically. Yeah. The FTC asked for and got a preliminary injunction. So because the acquisition, I think, was supposed to go through, or it's supposed to go through by like June 28th or something like that. And
if everyone approved in all jurisdictions, which obviously hasn't happened.
Yeah. And so they wanted to have a hearing on it before that, which I think the hearing is like June 22nd or June 23rd, something like that. But yeah, they asked just for a preliminary injunction, which is pretty standard just to prevent it from happening. Until the merits of the issue can be resolved in the court. So it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't mean anything for the big picture. It just means that it's not happening anytime soon, which we already kind of knew that and assumed that.
Yeah. And I think Xbox was actually encouraging them to do the injunction because the temporary restraining order, because it gets them to a courtroom faster to present their case, which they feel is strong.
That's true, I think
based on what the UK and most other regulatory bodies have found, they know their case to be strong, especially since the UK block is only based on the cloud gaming thing. And it does seem to be based on some flawed assumptions that can be easily questioned or talked against with facts. So I don't think that, I think it's a big nothing burger. I don't think it really means anything. I think it's still going to go through the FTC pretty easily with some concessions, and that's probably going to be the case around the board. But it seems like the concessions they've already made to other jurisdictions should be enough to get them through the FTC. So I think this slows it down, but they were already slowed down by UK, so we're just going to take till next year for this to close. It's also, Spencer, I know you probably don't have the answer to this, but maybe you've read something about it. I believe what if they don't close by the June 28th, they have to renegotiate with Activision or re-up the deal for an extension, because that was the, or paid the break fee. So,
which is like $2 billion, $6 billion.
Yeah, I think it's $2 billion or $1.9 billion or something. Which is funny. Embracer Group is like restructuring and closing studios because they lost a $2 billion deal, and Microsoft's like, that's our late payment fee for Activision Blizzard.
Yeah.
I mean, it would hurt Microsoft, but it wouldn't bankrupt the company or anything.
Yeah.
It's still going through. There are going to be concessions. There's going to be extensions. I will be curious if like the terms of the deal change, or if it's just a straight up extension to give them more time to get through regulatory bodies, which is what I assume that it would be. So, finally, and this one I probably should have cut from the show, to be honest, but Rockstar removed a bunch of cars from GTA Online, almost 200, and it's caused a bit of an uproar because they said they were like the least used cars. But looking at the list, I think some people feel that a lot of the cars in there are some of the ones that are favored by some of the really, like, there are cars in there that people really liked. I mean, 200 cars is a lot.
It is a lot.
Their reason was the stores are hard to navigate in online because there's so many cars and they don't really have good filters. Have you ever tried to buy a car in the GTA Online like storefront? Like, there's so many cars. It's insane. They cut 200. Imagine how many hundreds more there are. So they took them out and moved some of them to other places in the game, but they also took some of them out and put them behind a paywall with Rockstar Plus or whatever it's called. Rockstar Grand Theft Auto Online Plus, or, you know, it has some stupid name with a plus in it. And I think when that came out, we made fun of it and said it was a terrible deal for all but the most absolutely obsessed Grand Theft Auto fan.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm thinking of who else had a subscription that we absolutely hated? I think it was this one. Maybe it was Fortnite. I don't know. All these subscriptions seem to be kind of stupid, unless this is the only game you play. My point being, though, I saw on Reddit somebody made the point that, well, if the problem was the navigation of the store and not you making more money, why wouldn't you just fix the store and add filters?
Yeah, it seems like
pages or do anything, right? Besides basic sorting. And yeah, so it does seem kind of stupid. I will say, though, I kind of appreciate it. I haven't been online to look at it, but I do wish they would break it up more. Like, buying in the web browser inside the game is pretty annoying. They really need to make it a better way to buy cars. Maybe make it an inventory list you click on and that opens up like a preview or something. But that menu has never been great, even in the offline mode where there's not nearly as many cars. But in the online mode where they just keep adding cars for 10 years, it's just absolutely insane how many cars there are. I wonder actually how many there are. I'm going to Google it right now. How many cars in GTA Online? 762. Jeez. So deleting 200 cars is considerable. That's a fourth of the cars. Now, they didn't all get deleted. They got moved to some other places within the store, but some of them did. So that doesn't feel great.
Yeah, what if you had the cars? Do you get to keep them?
I don't know. That's a question I had as well.
I assume you would, because they probably didn't.
Yeah, because they're still in the game. Yeah. And they added, oh, Spencer, they fixed my least favorite thing. What did I complain about more than anything at the launch of Red Dead Redemption 2?
I do not remember.
It was tapping X to run.
Oh, yeah.
They finally...
I do remember that.
They finally got rid of it in Grand Theft Auto Online. They enabled in the options menu, one touch, click to run, like on off. So I think it's still the X button, but you just tap it once and it locks you into run, just like clicking the left stick does in Call of Duty. It took them 10 years to put that quality of life into this game. That's insane. It's here now, though. I'm probably not going to play it again, but maybe I will. You never know. I'm crazy. And that's it. That's the end. That's all, folks. It's a really dated reference. Does anyone still watch Looney Tunes these days? Do you think kids watch Looney Tunes? My kids don't watch Looney Tunes.
That's unfortunate. They should.
I mean, they really should. But if you think about it, they're kind of violent for a three-year-old, like guns and... The Wile E. Coyote gets injured quite a lot, and Bugs Bunny. I mean, they're all trying to kill each other. It is a very violent cartoon compared to the stuff kids watch these days. Okay, Spencer, final thoughts. You weren't with us last week. We had lots of not E3. You're a PS4 gamer now.
Yep. I am a PlayStation.
Exclusively.
Yep, I sure am. FIFA.
Only FIFA 20.
And 21.
When are you going to get a second game? Are you just waiting for Spider-Man to be on sale?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Spider-Man. I'm not really in any rush.
You just missed all the big summer sales, too.
I know. That'll be all right, though.
Okay. Sounds good. Gus will be back next week recording live from his parents' house until he gets his new apartment, which is hilarious. So we should all give him a hard time about that. But it's actually pretty cool because his old apartment was raising rent and sticking it to the man. Just the way everybody's is. So thanks for listening, everybody. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Multiform Pod, or I'm Tim Shelton, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton.
And I am Spencer Rain. You can follow me on Twitter at Makes It Rain.
See you next week.
New episodes post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. You can contact us on Twitter at Multiform Pod or by email at questions@multiformpodcast.com. If you enjoyed our show and you're feeling extra generous, please share it with your friends or on social media. You can subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or anywhere you listen.